worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God, in the book of Psalms, Psalm 27, beginning at verse 1. Again, Psalm 27, starting at verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Verses 1 through 14, all of Psalm 27. Then turning further in the book of Psalms to Psalm 122, beginning at verse 1. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Verses 1 through 9, all of Psalm 122. Father, we thank you for being our light and our salvation, and we can know that we have no reason to fear. Thank you for being our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. Thank you for being our wonderful Heavenly Father. Thank you for being El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. Father, we pray a special prayer today for the nation of Israel. Father, flood Israel with a greater portion of your grace, peace, and mercy. And flood all of the Middle East with your grace, peace, and mercy, Lord. We're believing you, Lord, to bring the conflict to an end. And I pray that the name of Jesus would be lifted up mightily in the midst of all that's going on. Bless Israel according to your perfect will, and send forth many more laborers into the nation of Israel and into all of the Middle East. And raise up more and more peacemakers, people who love you with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, that will go to share the gospel in the Middle East, Israel, and all the other nations as well. And raise up the church to be the bold, courageous church that you have us to be in that region of the world as well. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time as well.
Father, we come to you today and we're thankful for your word. How kind of you to send that message, those words of comfort, the words of truth and righteousness to us, and then using your Holy Spirit to open up our eyes to the truths that you have for us there. And such a comfort you are through your word. We thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Rick. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. I want to say a word of encouragement to every believer listening. Please pray much for the nation of Israel and pray for the nations in the Middle East, for God's peace and grace and mercy to prevail in the midst of all that's going on there. And of course, the reality is Israel seems to be in the news all the time for one reason or another. And of course, one of the issues is whether people realize it or not is because there's always spiritual warfare surrounding the nation of Israel, uniquely so. And the reason being, Israel is the chosen, they are the chosen people of God. And so the church is to always pray much for Israel. Now let's take time now specifically to pray for them. Father, thank you for the nation of Israel. Thank you for Jerusalem. Thank you for the Jewish people all over the world. Thank you for your hand of grace upon them. Father, you are the God of Israel, and they are your people. You named them, though they did not know you. Lord, more and more, cleanse them from their iniquities and pardon all of their sins. Save them with an everlasting salvation. More and more, raise them up in righteousness and direct all their ways. Redeem Israel out of all their troubles. Be a shelter for your people and the strength of the children of Israel. Bring health and healing to their land, revealing to them your abundance of peace and truth. More and more, let the eyes of their understanding be enlightened. Give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let Israel be to your name a praise and an honor before all the nations of the earth, proclaiming all the good you do for them and causing fear and trembling among the nations because of all the goodness and prosperity you provide for it. Restore everything that has been removed from them. Send them grain and new wine and oil to satisfy them. Make their enemies to be at peace with them and no longer let them be a reproach among the nations. Seek out your sheep and deliver them from the peoples and countries where they were scattered and bring them to their own land. I pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper that love you. Lord, cause their enemies to cease from the land. Make them and the places all around Jerusalem a blessing and cause showers of blessings to come down in their season. Let your people dwell safely in their land, delivered from trouble from all the kingdoms of the earth. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And again, earlier, the scripture that we read earlier was Psalm 122, which very specifically has the command in verse 6. It says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. And so that command in verse 6 of Psalm 122 is an important one for the church and the people of God to always be mindful. I would encourage you to pray for Israel and the nation of Israel and Jerusalem every single day. Hope that you'll take time to do that. Today, we're looking specifically for the balance of the broadcast at the topic specifically, God calls the church to stand boldly for life. Again, God calls the church to stand boldly for life. And you know, I think of this, one of the Ten Commandments tells us, you shall not murder. That's plain and simple and very upfront. But sadly, we live in a world where too many people think it's okay to murder babies, to kill babies, and don't think much of it at all. Well, the fact is, God has called the church to be a bold witness standing for life and against the tragedy of abortion. And shortly, we'll be sharing some scriptures that speak to that specifically. But of course, very simply, as I mentioned, one of the Ten Commandments says, you shall not murder. But also keep in mind, too, the Word of God has a lot to say about this very important issue. And it's important that we recognize that, you know, God's Word is our guide for all of life. It's the tool whereby we're to know what's right, what's wrong, what honors God, and what does not honor God. And so it's critical that we as believers understand that God's Word is the bottom line. If we want to know what's right and what we should do, we should look to the Word of God for that guidance and direction. Specifically, in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 tells us, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. That you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Again, that was verses 19 and 20 of Deuteronomy chapter 30. Father, thank you, Lord, for the believers listening today. Thank you for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the opportunity you give us of being able to be a strong, bold church that is boldly standing for life and standing against the tragedy of abortion. Help us and more open our eyes as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ to see your word and your will and your heart on the life issue. Help us to recognize, Lord, that there are too many that take too lightly the tragedy of the slaughtering of children in our nation and in nations of the world. Help us as the church to rise up to boldly declare that your word says you shall not murder. And help us to recognize, Lord, that there's much we can do as the church to help save babies and end the tragedy of abortion. Help us to never be content until we have brought about your will through the ending of the tragedy of abortion in the world. And I pray, Lord, speak to every single listener. Help every single listener to seek to know what you want them to do to help address the issue of life and standing for life and against abortion. I pray that not a single listener will think to themselves, well, that's not important to me. Help us to recognize, Lord, that if something's important to you in your heart, then it needs to be important to us. So help us all to seek continually to ask the question, Lord, what do you want me to do to help stand for life and help end the tragedy of abortion? And help us to know, Lord, that there's so much the church is both in position to do and able to do if we will choose to have your heart and your mind on the life issue. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. We do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. And again, our topic that we're looking at today is God calls the church to stand boldly for life. And what I'd like to remind you of, too, is that I've shared before, I had the privilege of writing a book entitled A Pastor's Notes, God Calls the Church to Stand Boldly for Life. And I'd like to encourage you to get the book with the goal of getting it as a tool to help equip you to better understand the life issue and to understand it from a Bible perspective. It's critical that we understand the Bible has a lot to say about the life issue. You know, the word abortion is not found in the Word of God. But sadly, many people fail to recognize that abortion is just one form of murder. Murder is premeditated killing of a person deliberately. Well, of course, sadly, that's exactly what abortion is. So as we look at this topic, we're seeking to encourage and challenge you to recognize that there's so much God wants his church to do to help both save babies and save the mothers, to save the families, as well as to help the culture turn around and stop slaughtering his precious children. Because remember, we think of them as our children, and of course, in a sense, they are. God entrusts children to us. But these are God's babies, and God created every one of them. Each one of them is created in the image of God, and God had a divine destiny for every one of them. Some people make the big mistake of thinking, well, if the child isn't born, if the child's aborted or for whatever reason isn't born, God didn't have a plan and a destiny for that child. That's just not true. God doesn't create anything without a God-ordained destiny behind it. God has a purpose behind it. So every child created in the image of God has a God-ordained destiny. Who in the world do we as people think we are to think we can cut off God's divinely ordained destiny for a precious child? How important it is that we seek again to have God's heart, God's mind, God's perspective on life. Father, more and more, help us to know, Lord, that your word is that which will open our eyes. Your word is that which will help us to see things correctly as they need to be seen. Your word is that which will help the church to rise up to be the church you've called us to be. Help us to be just Bible and word minded across the board in the way we approach everything, including the life issue. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Today we're looking at the topic, God calls the church to stand boldly for life. We'll be right back.
Every day I face a million different ways I gotta trust, but there's only one decision: how to live, how to love Jesus, because you are
choices, my choices. I believe that faith is nothing if it isn't everything. Every heartbeat, every moment, whatever this day brings, this song I will sing. You are God and you're the God of my choices. Speak to me and I will run to your voice. Here I am in the noise, won't you lead me in my choices, my choices.
Music of J.J. Weeks with Choices. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're looking today at the topic, God calls the church to stand boldly for life. And one of our goals is to encourage you to seek to find out God's heart for what exactly he wants you as an individual believer to do to help stand for life and help end the tragedy of abortion. Remember, God has work for all of us to do in his kingdom. It's important that we're faithful witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ, both carrying the gospel on a daily basis, making disciples. And part of being a disciple, we're to be a disciple and make disciples, but part of being a faithful disciple is doing whatever he's calling us to do to help end the tragedy of abortion in our world. So no believer should decide, well, God doesn't have anything for me to do in relation to the reality of abortion. No, your job is to go to the Lord and say, Lord, show me what you want me to do. And then listen, because he has something for you to do as well. All of us can pray for the ending of abortion. We should also pray for God's grace and mercy to be poured out mightily upon every pregnancy clinic in our culture. Each of them perform an extremely important part of the work, because at your average pregnancy clinic, you'll find people that a wonderful staff that typically will share the gospel with every client that comes through the doors. We'll seek to love and embrace that person, comfort them in the midst of the fears and the anxiety they have around a pregnancy at a difficult time in their lives, and pray for God's grace to be at work, because many of the women that come to pregnancy clinics often are abortion-minded, and for whatever reason, they will typically stop by a pregnancy clinic on their way to an abortion clinic. So pray for God's grace and spirit and mercy to be at work mightily in every pregnancy clinic. Pray for God's mercy and grace and power to be worked mightily at abortion clinics as well. Many people don't realize the large number of women that will go into abortion clinics, but somehow or another, someone praying somewhere, they're touched and they decide that they've changed their mind and they leave those abortion clinics. You'd be surprised at how the huge number of women that will go into an abortion clinic but change your mind and come back out and decide not to do the abortion, even after they've walked through the doors of that abortion clinic. Why does that happen? Very often, typically, somewhere someone is praying for God's grace and mercy on that baby in that precious mother's womb. We all can pray, and it's important that we take that kind of prayer seriously. Father, raise up more and more prayer warriors that will pray much for your grace and mercy and spirit to be at work mightily in every pregnancy, or in and around every pregnancy clinic, and in and around every abortion clinic as well. Raise up more intercessors who are serious prayer warriors that know how to pray, that your spirit would speak to the minds and the hearts of these precious women so that they would choose life and not choose to take the lives of their precious unborn children. and more raise up more churches and individuals who recognize the great spiritual warfare that happens around these places, and for them to enter the fray, for them to bring their prayer life to bear upon these circumstances as well. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. But along with that also, the fact is there are many churches that really should pray about putting your local pregnancy clinic in your budget or doing fundraisers to help pregnancy clinics. What is sad is that your average pregnancy clinic does great work to help save babies, help to encourage and work with the moms to choose life, and to help them even well after they choose to keep their babies. But many pregnancy clinics operate on a shoestring budget. Many times they don't have much support at all, and they just, by God's grace, figure out how to do a lot of work on a small budget. Every believer should pray about, Lord, how do you want us to help the pregnancy clinic in our community? First, you need to find out where the pregnancy clinic is. And once you find out where it is, just go by there and ask them how you can volunteer. Give financially out of your own pocket and approach the leadership of your church and ask them if they'll consider either placing them in your church budget or doing fundraisers for the local pregnancy clinic. What many people fail to realize is the pro-life concern is a major mission field in our culture. It's a major mission field, and but many believers wouldn't think of it as mission at all. But without question, it's a great mission field in our culture, and many more pastors and believers need to grasp that that's exactly what it is. And we need to react to it that way as well. A need for they use lots of volunteers in the work of pregnancy clinics, and so we're encouraging you to get involved. Find out what the Lord would have you to do to get involved to help support this very critically important work. I want to take time specifically to share with you a Bible foundation to help us better understand that this is a major area of need that God has in mind for the church, and there's lots of Bible truths that help us understand that God's word clearly opposes abortion. So I'm going to share with you an article that I wrote that was on the AFA stand entitled, God's Word Clearly Opposes Abortion. In the tragic abortion debate today, with people who say that they love the Lord on both sides of the issue, who is right? In fact, a bigger question is, who decides what is right or wrong? Who decides whether something is good or bad? Who decides what pleases the Lord and what does not please Him? The simple answer is, God does. God tells us His perspective and thoughts. He tells us what is right and what is wrong in His Word. In the present cultural landscape, we can actually determine who is right and who is wrong. We can see who is on the Lord's side and who is not. We do need to be mindful that this is the issue. It's not a matter of who is God siding with. God doesn't take sides. He gives us His Word, and if we line up with His Word, we end up on the right side of an issue. If we ignore, disregard, and oppose the Word of God, we're on the wrong side of an issue. So now, let's look at what the Word of God has to say about abortion. Of course, abortion is the act of deliberately killing an innocent baby in the womb. It's the taking of an innocent and helpless human life. Here are some passages from the Bible that give us God's counsel and will concerning life, abortion, and the taking of innocent life. This is specifically Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying His voice, and holding fast to Him. For He is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob to give them. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. Exodus 20, verse 13, you shall not murder. Proverbs 24, 12, rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, behold, we did not know this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over you, who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his work? Proverbs 24:12. Then Proverbs 31, verses 8 and 9. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy. Again, Proverbs 31, 8 and 9. And then Leviticus chapter 20, verses 1 through 5 tell us, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, say to the people of Israel, any one of the people of Israel or of the strangers who sojourn in Israel who gives any of his children to Molech shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. I myself will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people, because he has given one of his children to Molech to make my sanctuary unclean and to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do at all close their eyes to that man when he gives one of his children to Molech and do not put him to death, then I will set my face against that man and against his clan and will cut them off from among their people, him and all who follow him in whoring after Molech. Again, Leviticus chapter 20, verses 1 through 5. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 31. You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way. For every abominable thing that the Lord hates, they have done for their gods. They even burn their sons and their daughters in the fire to their gods. Again, Deuteronomy 12, verse 31. Ezekiel 16, 20 and 21. And you took your sons and your daughters, whom you had borne to me, and these you sacrificed to them to be devoured. Were your whoring so small a matter that you slaughtered my children and delivered them up as an offering by fire to them? Again, Ezekiel 16, 20 and 21. Then Psalm 106, 37 and 38. They sacrificed their sons and their daughters to the demons. They poured out innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Again, Psalm 106, verses 37 and 38. Then the next scripture says, they built the high places of Baal in the valley of the son of Hinnom to offer up their sons and daughters to Molech, though I did not command them, nor did it enter into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. Jeremiah 32, 35. The next scripture, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1, 9. In Exodus chapter 1, verses 15 through 22, and in Matthew chapter 2, verses 16 through 18, God's word tells of two governmental leaders, two kings, who for sad, cruel, and selfish reasons gave orders to slaughter innocent little boys. By their power and authority, their orders were carried out. Tragically, we still have governmental leaders who continue to approve of killing innocent babies in the womb. This is not an exhaustive listing of the scriptures that speak to the life issue, standing up for life and standing against abortion. These are just a few. But they're enough to help you see what God clearly thinks about the issues concerning life. What should be our response to God's word in view of what he says about these issues? A correct response on the part of believers and the church is that we get passionately involved in aggressively standing for life. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, Luke 10, three people of quote-unquote faith found a man in great trouble and distress. Two of the three passed by on the other side of the road after seeing the injured man. Sadly, they did nothing to help. Yet when a Samaritan saw the man, he had compassion on him. The Samaritan went through great lengths to help the injured man. He used his time, energy, and money to assist the person in need. The Lord Jesus, after sharing the parable, gave a command, "Go and do likewise." Babies in the womb have too often been the man on the side of the road. The world has beaten them up, robbed them, and took their lives too often. May the church, the body of Christ, stand up today like the Samaritan. May we not pass by on the other side anymore. And may we stop supporting people who say they are believers, yet support the killing of innocent babies. Let's rise up and faithfully stand for life and help end the tragedy of abortion in our culture and world. Again, that was the article entitled, God's Word Clearly Opposes Abortion. And my encouragement to you is email us to get a copy of it. My email is jparker@afa.net. Again, jparker@afa.net. And it lays out for us a strong and a solid biblical foundation that helps us to better understand as we look at some of the scriptures that speak to the life issue, but it helps us to better understand God's clear perspective on the reality of life and God's perspective against the tragedy of abortion. God calls the church to stand boldly for life. Lord, anoint us afresh with the boldness you want us to have, the commitment you want us to have, and the heart that you want us to have to stand for life and help end the tragedy of abortion as you're calling the church to do. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we look at the topic, God calls the church to stand boldly for life. We'll be right back.
Life was bitter to the core. There was nothing to live for until love came. And even second times around, happiness could not be found until love came. I was left all alone.
My heart was breaking.
Thought was my own. Tears cover me.
We've been through the whole night.
And I need some relief.
Joy comes in the morning.
I've been searching for
many years now.
The keys to life's door.
Need to know how.
Brought to my knees.
Savior, can you help me?
And was led to believe.
I'll tell you, I was too weak.
His love showed me. Love said not so. Even with the odds against me. Love showed me. Love said not so. Without a reason or cause, peace and joy placed on pause until love came. Having no hope at all, and not a loved one to call until love came. I was left all alone.
My heart was breaking.
Thought was my
music of BB and CC Winans, Love Said Not So. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, God calls the church to stand boldly for life. And again, our encouragement to you is that you would take it upon yourself to spend time with God in prayer and ask Him what He wants you to do, because without question, there's so much more God is clearly calling the church to do to help stand for life and against the tragedy of abortion. Individually and collectively, there's so much more we as believers can do. Again, in a very helpful starting place is, again, pray much for God's grace and mercy to be at work mightily in and around every pregnancy clinic and mightily in and around every abortion clinic as well, because much spiritual warfare is going on in and around every one of these places. So that's an important step for each of us to take. I want to share briefly just from my own experience too. I've been a pastor for most of the last 45 years, and for a number of those years I've pastored in the Mississippi Delta, and a few years ago saw the need for an additional pregnancy clinic ministry in the Mississippi Delta. It's a very large geographic area in the state of Mississippi, but has very few pregnancy clinics. Well, after talking and being in touch with different persons who had a concern as well, there was talk, but nothing was really happening. And at a certain point, I heard the Lord say pretty clearly to me, you start one. Well, I really wasn't looking to hear that, to be quite honest, because again, I'm busy, everybody's busy. But after praying and getting clarity from the Lord that He wanted me to start this, we embarked upon this journey. And about 3 years ago, we started the journey. And by the grace of the Lord, today we have a 501c3 and a board. And we're in the process of raising funds to purchase a mobile pregnancy unit. I want to ask you to pray for us, to pray for God to help us to move forward, to carry out His dream to minister to the Mississippi Delta in this regard. And if you feel impressed to the Lord to help us in any other way, get in touch with us. My email is jparker@afa.net. But please pray much for us. We need your prayers, and God is blessing. We're moving forward with this project. But again, the ministry of pregnancy clinics is vital to the work of standing for life and against the tragedy of abortion. Again, I would challenge you to find out where your local pregnancy clinic is. Get involved with praying for them. I would encourage you to prayerfully give financially to them and find out what else you can do. Often you can give baby diapers and baby items and different supplies that they use to give. And the work they do is free to the women, the precious women that come through their doors. They do all that they do for free. And the work they do is so important. I recently was in touch with a staff person with one of the pregnancy clinics. It's probably one of, if not the busiest one in the state of Mississippi. And I was talking to them about the work they do in their community. And they indicated that a recent survey indicated they had somewhere around over 500 churches in their portion, in their area, in the state. And I asked her the question, how many churches support you? And sadly, she said, and actually had kind of a pitiful laugh, and she said, 13 churches. Now, what a tragedy. Out of over 500 churches, only 13 churches support the precious work of the pregnancy clinic. And I happen to know that clinic struggles financially. Brothers and sisters, that should not be. The mission field of life is too big, too important for the people of God to ignore this critical area. Every believer listening should pray about, say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Because all of us can pray and all of us can give. Get behind this work, because through this precious ministry, lots of babies are saved and lots of women and families are saved as well. And the reality is God's kingdom is built greatly through the work of local pregnancy clinics. So I would encourage you to do that. I want to take time now. Again, the book I shared earlier that I wrote is entitled A Pastor's Notes, God Calls the Church to Stand Boldly for Life. If you'd like to get a copy, you can go to afastore.net, and I would encourage you to do that. It's a good book to help you become better equipped to know what you can do to help get involved with the powerful and very important work of standing for life and against the tragedy of abortion. It's a good tool for pastors or for individual believers that just want to follow God's heart much more faithfully. I want to share briefly from one of the articles there. One of the articles in the book is entitled Church and the Issue of Life. Church and the Issue of Life in the book, A Pastor's Notes, God Calls the Church to Stand Boldly for Life. What should we do about the life issue? Should we preach or teach about it? Or should we avoid it so we don't hurt feelings and open old wounds? If we preach and address it, would people be offended? Should we avoid controversial issues such as the life issue and abortion? Shouldn't we preach and teach only about culturally acceptable topics that will encourage people? These are questions and issues that the church as a whole and the local church in particular should address. We must preach and teach the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15. We're not called to condemn, but to proclaim the truth to a world deceived by the darkness of lies. If we fail to preach and teach truth, people will be lost and ultimately die in their sins. So often, important life decisions are based on what is deemed culturally and socially acceptable. But culture and society are usually deceived because they do not love or embrace the truth. While preaching and teaching are powerful tools to wield, we must do more. We must also aggressively provide ministry to pregnant women in their time of need. What can be done? We can vigorously come alongside the ministries of local pregnancy centers. Many believers in the church are not aware of the powerful work pregnancy centers do in the local community. They provide a safe, loving, and warm environment for women in crisis pregnancies. They love these women by providing wise and positive counseling concerning ways to get help they need to either keep their baby or lovingly place their baby up for adoption. They usually provide these services at no charge and often provide free baby items for expecting mothers. Many also are not aware that much evangelism, discipleship, and pastoral care are given to women and their families through the ministry of pregnancy clinics. A director of one pregnancy center in the Mississippi Delta shared with me that around 500 persons had accepted Christ over the years through their ministry. So the question becomes, how can the local church get involved? For starters, we can begin to see the local pregnancy center as an extension of the church. A church fellowship can decide to do some or all of the following things to support, encourage, and help the work of local pregnancy centers. Number one, pray daily and faithfully for the ministry of your local pregnancy center. Much spiritual warfare happens at these centers. Number two, give generously to the work of your local pregnancy center, either a single generous gift or place them in your church's annual budget. Number three, regularly recruit and send volunteers from your church to help at your local pregnancy center. Number four, donate baby items to your local pregnancy center, diapers, baby clothes, baby accessories, etc. And number five, regularly inquire about other ways your church fellowship can help. Approach the local pregnancy center and ask them how you can be of help. Again, the pregnancy center is a tremendous mission, an area of mission for the church to embrace. Local churches can also prayerfully consider beginning or sponsoring a post-abortion healing Bible study. In view of the fact that one in every three or four women has had an abortion in our culture, the number of people who are hurting from this tragedy is staggering. The sheer number of abortions is such that it necessarily must touch every single congregation in the country. Not to seek to provide the ministry of forgiveness and healing for these men and women would be negligent on our part as the church. Forgiveness and healing are born in the Word of God. So start a Bible study. Prayerfully consider starting just such a study. Finally, have creative events where the issue of life is addressed in a biblical, practical, and loving way in your local church. Host events that educate believers about this issue from a scriptural perspective. Use the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday in January to do much spiritual education about this topic. Also, you could host a Festival for Life. These are only a few suggestions. There are many more things churches can do intentionally and faithfully to intentionally and faithfully address the life issue. Pray for the Lord to guide you and your church family to do what He would have you to do to stand faithfully for life this year and beyond. And just for your information, a Festival for Life is a multimedia family-friendly event that American Family Association sponsors and brings to local churches. This event uses movie clips, music videos, and movie trailers to help share a biblical message about the need for the church to stand boldly for life and against the tragedy of abortion. Again, that was an article from the book, A Pastor's Note, God Calls the Church to Stand Boldly for Life. The particular article is entitled Church and the Issue of Life. Again, if you'd like to get a copy of the book, A Pastor's Notes, God Calls the Church to Stand Boldly for Life, go to afastore.net and you can get it there. Again, that's afastore.net. So as we draw to a close, I want to remind you there's so much more God is clearly calling the church to do. Certainly, we're to pray for the ending of abortion. That's a wonderful thing. Certainly, we're to vote for only pro-life candidates. And that, too, is a wise and a great thing that the church is doing. We're to repent of the tragedy and the wrong of abortion. That all of those are very important, and we praise God for people that do that. But don't stop there. There's so much more that we can do. You have sidewalk counselors that will go outside of abortion clinics to pray for and to counsel the women to consider life rather than having their babies aborted. There are those that go outside abortion clinics and pray. And so much the church can do. Father, help us to have ears to hear as you speak to us about the things you would call us to do as your church to help stand for life. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. As we draw to close, as usual, we want to give the opportunity. There may be someone listening who has never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. There may be someone listening who's gone down the road of having had an abortion, or maybe who paid for or encouraged someone to do that, that recognizes their need for forgiveness, I would encourage you to pray to commit or recommit your heart to the Lord with us at this time. Today is a good day to get saved. Today is a good day to recommit your heart to the Lord. Would you pray this prayer with us? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so very much that you came into this world, you lived, you died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. I repent and turn from all that wrong. Forgive me, Lord, for the wrongs I've done. Lord Jesus, come anew into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Once again, my email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. Please, please, please get in touch with, us if you prayed that prayer and gave your life to the Lord today, or if you prayed it as a rededication prayer, prayed it as a prayer for forgiveness. Please get in touch with us. Again, jparker@afa.net. We'd like to share with you some discipleship materials that will help you to grow, to begin to grow and grow strong in your walk with the Lord, or to grow and mature more so in your walk with the Lord. We'd be glad to share those with you. Once again, jparker@afa.net. Again, if you'd like to get a copy of the book, A Pastor's Notes, God Calls the Church to Stand Boldly for Life, go to afastore.net. Hope that you'll take time to do that. And finally, within the article that we shared earlier, God's Word Clearly Opposes Abortion, jparker@afa.net. We'd be glad to send it to you. Thanks for listening. As always, we appreciate you listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.